Well, I heard from Randy yesterday, and he emailed me from off the coast of Haiti, and said, "Fred, I hate to tell you this, but it's 88 degrees down here." He knows I hate the cold. But then he told me something I didn't know. He told me that on the same ship is my brother-in-law and sister-in-law. Can you believe that? They didn't know they were going to be on. Neither knew each other were going to be on there. Can you believe that? What are the chances of that? Yeah, that's pretty cool. I wish I was there. How many of you have ever been on a cruise? How many of you would like to go on a cruise? I'm with you. Still waiting. Riverboat. Oh, is that the Viking thing? Oh, man, that does look good. Yeah. Is that on the bucket list? Just $12,000. No problem. Claim it. Okay. Well, I found myself thinking this week about, in light of, you know, Christmas and New Year's, how many celebrations that that my family has a year. Have you ever thought about how many times you celebrate as a family a year? I never thought about it. So I counted it up. I came up with at least 24 celebrations per year. And I'm probably missing something. Now, here's what 4 birthdays, an anniversary, parents' birthdays, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, Thanksgiving, Tabernacles, Christmas, New Year's, Hanukkah, Passover, Easter, Purim, Pentecost, 4th of July, Memorial Day, Labor Day, Mother's Day, Father's Day, Valentine's Day. Did I leave anything out? That's a lot of celebrating.
I celebrate Grandfather's Day.
You celebrate? Yep, I'm not there yet. And at least 10 of those we celebrate here at New Heritage Community. And 11 if you add Shabbat. We celebrate Christmas Eve, Christmas, Good Friday, Easter, Tabernacles, Passover, Pentecost, Passover, Hanukkah, and Purim. Did I leave anything out? So we do a lot of celebrating. But guess what? We've just added one more celebration to our list. Yesterday, for the very first time, we celebrated a bar mitzvah. So Daniel Garcia, please stand up. Daniel is our first bar mitzvah. So everybody say, Mazel Tov, Daniel. We had an awesome time, didn't we? And Daniel, you just did a great job. You really did. We're so proud of you. So thank you. Thank you. Yeah, so Daniel became a bar mitzvah, which means, does anybody know what it means? Son of the commandment. In other words, Daniel made a commitment to love God with all of his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and to keep the commandments. Because Jesus says, if we love him, we will keep his commandments. And so Daniel made that declaration yesterday, and it was an amazing time. And it's what we call a rite of passage. How many of you heard of that term, rites of passage? It's a ceremony that marks the transition from one phase of life to another on our journey through life, and thus the title of my message this morning, Rites of Passage, Our Journeys Through Life. Now, a bar mitzvah, anybody here been bar mitzvah? Richard, weren't you bar mitzvah?
I'm the only one in my family.
Okay, how are you? Okay. Well, you know what? Here's new news. Here's new news. You are a bar mitzvah. You know why? Because in Jewish tradition, you don't have to have the ceremony. If you're 13 years old, you automatically, if you're Jewish, become a bar mitzvah. So congratulations. Mazel tov. So a bar mitzvah, though, is not the only rite of passage. There are many rites of passage. For example, you may have heard of the Jedi rite of passage. Now, for all of you Star Warriors, you may remember Luke Skywalker's rite of passage to become a Jedi Knight. Looks something like this. You might want to turn the volume up. Turn it up.
Man.
No, wait, would you
volume?
I mean you no harm.
Mahadash. What's going on? There we go.
Here's not ready.
Yoda.
It should just be automatic. Conrad, we need you. I'm going to start it back over again. Back up. Back up.
Constantly tested.
No, back up.
Tossed into the wild.
So much for a perfect sermon. All right.
You will go to the Dagobah system. Dagobah system. There you will learn from Yoda, the Jedi Master who instructed me. Man!
Away with your weapon! I mean you no harm! He's not ready.
Yoda. I won't fail you. I'm not afraid.
No.
You will be.
Yes, you will.
You will be.
We need to teach Yoda to speak a little bit more clearly. Now, if you saw the new Star Wars, you notice that Luke Skywalker has got a little bit older.
Yeah.
So there's the Jedi rite of passage. There's also the ancient Spartan rite of passage. Young Spartans would go through what's called an agoge. And what's an agoge? It was a series of trials that would make boys into warriors. So we kind of weed out the weak and the cowardly, and make the brave braver and the strong stronger. And one of the initiation rites was to stalk and kill a wolf. It looks something like this.
Constantly tested, tossed into the wild, left to pit his wits and will against nature's fury. It was his initiation, his time in the wild. For he would return to his people a Spartan. Or not at all.
Ouch. Now, Daniel, I'm sure you're glad this morning that yesterday didn't involve that particular rite of passage. Would you agree? Yes. Okay. All right, so that's the ancient Spartan rite of passage. There's also the Native American rite of passage. Maybe you've heard of it. It's called a vision quest. Many would send their young men on a vision quest where they would go on this kind of intense time of fasting to get envision for what their life and their purpose of life so they could actually enter into adult life. Not too dissimilar to what Jesus did when he went into the what? The wilderness. And he fasted for how many days? 40 days. He went in full of the Holy Spirit, and he came out in the power of the Holy Spirit, kind of like his vision quest. Well, there's the Native American rites of passage. There's the, if I can pronounce it right, the Vanuatu. Can you say that with me? Vanuatu. Vanuatu rite of passage. The Vanuatus, they inhabit an island nation in the South Pacific Ocean. And this is a practice that's similar to bungee jumping, except they don't use cables, they use vines. And the goal is to, this is true now, okay? And the goal is to see what, is to jump off that height and get your head as close to the ground as possible and avoiding death. And if you do successfully, you are a very lucky young man. Dan, you're glad we didn't do that one too, right? Okay. Now, there's also the Fulani rite of passage. The Fulani women of West Africa, they must have their faces tattooed before they are considered adults. We didn't want to leave you ladies out. And the process takes several hours and is usually done with a sharpened piece of wood. Ouch. If the girl cries or grimaces, she's believed to be too young and must wait until she is eligible again. So tomorrow night, we've agreed the next festival, instead of having face painting, we're going to have face tattooing. Sound good? And I'll leave that one. No. Okay. There you go, ladies. All right. Now, finally, there's the Pikesville rite of passage. This was my initiation to a high school fraternity. And like other ancient rites, it involved going through a series of trials. Some people call it hazing. And that's one example of some of the trials, some of the hazing, some of the training that we went through to weed out the weak. And that's a paddle, by the way, he's holding his hand. I think I'm still bearing some of the marks of that, that, pardon me? Well, that's right. That's a little bit before my time, but that's the best Rabbi Google could do for me. But that's exactly what we go through. We go through that and more. I mean, it was a tough time. Pledging was not fun. And, you know, they really did their best to make you de-pledge. And so we went through all these different rites, but they all culminated at the last initiation rite, which was on Christmas Eve, and where they had us stripped down to our underwear in the cold. There was snow on the ground. They blindfolded us and herded us into an open-air garage where they assaulted us with all kinds of sundry. Thank you. Okay. Come on. Sundry awful things. Foul things. And after they did that to us, then they took us way out Falls Road. Have you ever been way out Falls Road extended? And it's called the dump. They dumped us, and then we had a forced march home where they're jeering at us and whatever, hoping that we will somehow give in and ask for a ride. But for those who don't give in, they get in. And somehow I got in. Big deal. So, Daniel, I'm sure that's another one that you're glad you didn't have to go through yesterday. Well, obviously not all rites of passage are created equal, nor should they be encouraged. But that doesn't mean we don't need them. One writer said this: without meaningful rites of passage, young people become disillusioned, dissatisfied, and disenchanted. Gangs, sex, drugs, I added fraternities, become false substitutes for the lack of any real initiation rites for young people. As a result, they lack moral and spiritual identity, having no greater story to guide them. So young people need them, but you know what? We all need them as well. We all need rites of passage. And there's one in particular that God has given us that is not age dependent. Any guess what that rite of passage is? Okay, close. Starts with a B. You're close. Baptism, that's right. Baptism. Now, most of us, if not all of us, have been baptized. Some of us have been baptized as adults. Some of us have been baptized as infants. And your baptism experience is probably somewhere on the spectrum of very meaningful to hardly meaningful at all. Now, I was baptized and had, well, you can tell me whether you think it was meaningful or not. I became a believer May 1st, 1971. Not 1921, 1971. And 3 weeks later, I'd never been to a church in my life. 3 weeks later, I wound up at this church near Mont Dorman, and it was Pentecost Eve. I have no idea how I got there. And it was me and one other guy, and we were the only white guys in the church. And the church was packed, and it was Pentecost Eve, and it was a Pentecostal church. And let me tell you, they were rocking and rolling. And we're back there kind of in the last row, and it's going on, and it's happening. And then all of a sudden, in the middle of the pastor's sermon, he locks eyes on me, and he comes down, and he says, He's right in the middle of the story. He comes in and he says, do you believe in Jesus Christ? And I said, gulped. And I said, yeah. He says, well, have you been baptized in the name of Jesus Christ? And I said, no. He goes, no, I'm not strong. He's a big guy. But he bent over. He picked me up. And he's going, hallelujah, hallelujah. And then he walks. He's carrying me going, hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. And the next thing I knew, they had a baptism font at the front of the church. Next thing I knew, I was going down in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. So you tell me, was that meaningful? Where was that on the scale? I didn't have a clue what baptism was. I didn't know what the word baptism was. But you know what? It worked. I'm still here. So I don't know what your baptism experience is like, but if you got baptized and you're still here, it worked. Hallelujah. So, but I've discovered that was just that baptism experience. That was just the beginning. Baptism is just the beginning, the initiation into a rites of passage. Since then, I've discovered that baptism, like most rites of passage, have three things in common: initiation, tribulation, and graduation. And you can see all three of these in the life of, guess who? Jesus, Yeshua. Matthew chapter 3, verse 17, we read that Jesus was baptized. In his baptism, he hears the Father say, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. The Father told Jesus he is loved and highly favored before he accomplished anything. Have you ever thought about that? The Father affirmed him, told him he was loved and highly favored, well-pleasing before he accomplished anything. Jesus was loved and affirmed not for what he had done, but because he was a son. And it's true for us. We're loved and affirmed not because of anything that we do, but because of what he has done. Not because of our merits, but because of his mercy. Not because of our goodness, but because of his grace. Not because of our good works, but because of his finished work. And can somebody say, amen? We got to practice being a little Pentecostal here. Come on. You know, I'm no longer trying to be accepted. I already am accepted in the beloved. I'm no longer trying to be justified. I already am justified, just as if I've never sinned. I'm no longer trying to be sanctified. I already am sanctified because he is my sanctification. I'm no longer even trying to be made whole because I am already healed. Because by his stripes, I am healed. Can somebody say hallelujah? Oh, we're getting Pentecostal now. All right. You know, when I was born, my father, I didn't have to do anything to get my father to love me. Well, when I was born again, it's the same thing. When you were born again, it's a done deal. There's nothing you had to do to get your father to love you. Praise God. So baptism was not only Jesus' initiation into ministry, listen to this, but an affirmation of his identity as God's son. And he received the Father's affirmation not only publicly, but personally. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. Now, why do I say that? Now, let me ask you if you've ever noticed this in Scripture. This is cool if you haven't seen it before. In Matthew 3, Jesus heard and everybody else heard him say, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In Luke and Mark, does anybody know what it says? Read with me. You are my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. In other words, Jesus heard the Father say to him and to everybody else, this is my beloved Son. But he also heard the Father say it personally, you are my beloved Son. How many of you know that we need to hear the Father's voice? We need to hear the Father tell us that he loves us, not only publicly, but personally. Not only outwardly, but inwardly. We need to hear his voice. You know, one thing I try to practice in my time, that's why we need a quiet time, by the way. Because how many of you know life is noisy? How many of you know your head is noisy? There's a lot of noise in there. So we need to work hard. We need to labor to enter into his rest. Because there's so much noise going on. So what I try to do when I take my quiet time of beholding and abiding, I try to end my time. I don't know, I have to confess, I forget a lot. But when I remember, before I leave, I'll say, Father, is there anything you want to say to me this morning? And then I just listen. And invariably, if I do that, and if I wait, I will hear his voice. And it may just be a sentence, but he'll say something to me just to let me know that he loves me and he's with me and I can do it, or whatever it is that's going on in my life. He encourages me. So that's why it's so important to have a quiet time, a time of beholding and abiding in him so we can hear his voice. My wife sent me this meditation on 2 Corinthians 3:18. Anybody know what that says? I think it's your favorite verse, isn't it? And we with unveiled faces beholding the glory of the Lord are being changed, transformed into his likeness from one degree of glory to another. Here's what she sent me. You may want to close your eyes as you listen to this. It's a great meditation so you can focus. The greatest characteristic a Christian can exhibit is this completely unveiled openness before God, which allows that person's life to become a mirror for others. When the Spirit fills us, we are transformed. And by beholding God, we become mirrors of God. You can always tell when someone has been beholding the glory of the Lord, because your inner spirit senses he mirrors the presence of the Lord. Beware of anything that would spot or tarnish that mirror in you. It is almost always something good that will stain it. Something good, but not what is best. The most important rule for us is to concentrate on abiding in the presence of God and hearing the voice of God. Let everything else, including work, clothes, and food, be set aside. The busyness of things obscures the voice of God. We must maintain a position of beholding him, keeping our lives completely spiritual through and through. Let other things come and go as they will, but never allow anything to obscure the fact that you are hidden with Christ in God. Never let a hurried lifestyle disturb the relationship of abiding in him. This is an easy thing to allow, but we must guard against it. The most difficult lesson of the Christian life is learning how to continue beholding, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord. Isn't that good? So baptism is the beginning, right? The initiation. But it doesn't take long before we enter into stage two. Do you remember what stage two was? That's right, tribulation. Oh, there it is. Tribulation. Marked by trials, troubles, and temptations. Now, remember after Jesus was baptized, what happened after that? Where did he go? That's right. And Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit for 40 days in the wilderness, tempted by the devil. Now, notice, he didn't wander into the wilderness. He was what? He was led into the wilderness. And so will we be. We too will be led into the wilderness into a time of trial and trouble and temptation. Why do I say that? Well, I'm not the first one to say it. Acts 14:22. It is through much tribulation that we enter the kingdom of God. It's through much tribulation. It's through many trials, it's through many hardships that we enter into the kingdom of God. I don't know about you, but I would rather go around them. I would rather avoid them than go through them. It's kind of like those speed bumps in the road. How many of you like speed bumps? I hate them. And I try to do everything to try to avoid them. But I'm noticing, have you noticed this? There's more and more of them. It's like, man, they're like multiplying. They're like, they've become like unavoidable. It's kind of like life, isn't it? A good friend of mine, he's famous for saying this. Life isn't a bump in the road. The bumps are the road. Life is a bumpy road. And I don't know about you, but I get tempted sometimes to think that my life has more bumps than his life. And it's this, look, God, it's not fair. Why do I have so many bumps in my life, in my road? Or his life doesn't seem bumpy at all. What's the story with that? It's unfair. Am I the only one who feels that way? We need perspective. And I was listening to, I listen to talk shows. You ever listen to talk shows, you know? Well, sometimes they say something decent. And I like what this guy said. Here's what he said. It's a good perspective. He said, you have to expect impediments in everything you do. The day you think the impediments are put there because it's unfair, because life should be easy, you're finished. Yeah. You're finished. Now, Paul, not Paul Orman, but he probably would agree, the Apostle Paul, he even gave better perspective. He said, in Romans 5, he says something I find one of the most challenging passages in Scripture. He said, rejoice. What? Rejoice in your sufferings or your trials or your tribulations, because suffering or trials or tribulations produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope shall never disappoint you. Wow. See, there's hope for the end of the road, the end of the journey, because tribulations prepare us for stage three. What's stage three? Graduation. Graduation. How many of you remember your graduation? Yeah. How many of you know Jesus graduated? The Bible says that after his death and resurrection, that he ascended on high, and he was made to sit at the right hand of the Father, far above every sovereignty, authority, domination, or dominion, or any other name that can be named, not only in this age, but also in the age to come. Now, the book of Hebrews, chapter 1, gives us a little bit of a glimpse of what this amazing graduation ceremony looked like. Just a little glimpse. Hebrews 1, verse 3. The Son is the radiance of God's glory and the exact expression of his nature, sustaining all things by his powerful word. And after making atonement for sin, he sat down at the right hand of the majesty on high. So he became higher in rank than the angels, just as the name he inherited is superior to theirs. How many of you would like to have been at that ceremony, graduation ceremony? Wow. Well, you know what? I have a sneaky suspicion that because in eternity there's no time, that we're going to get to see it. That it's one of those ceremonies, it's one of those celebrations that just continues on for eternity.
Reruns,
right. So I don't think we're going to miss out. And I can't wait to see it. Well, our graduation, brothers and sisters, is coming as well. Whether it's 1 year from now, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, it's coming. Because life is going quick, isn't it? How many of you notice that the years are going by faster and faster? I have a theory. The closer we get to infinity, the faster time goes. And at 64 years old, I'm getting a little closer. And time is definitely seemingly speeding up. But it will be a great celebration. Your graduation is going to be a great celebration. How many of you believe that? Now, I got a little glimpse into you know, sometimes the Holy Spirit pulls back the veil of eternity. We get a little glimpse into heaven. You ever had those little glimpses? Well, I got one of these at my son Nicholas's high school graduation. He graduated Kennedy Krieger High School. Here's a picture. There he is. And now you have to let me try to paint a picture of what this was like. Kennedy High School auditorium. big auditorium, packed. Packed with people. And in the middle is this long aisle. And everybody is like, everybody's seated like you are here and you guys over there. And there's this long aisle from the back to the front. And all the graduates are back here. And one at a time, they're called by name, Nicholas Lessons. Come on down. Well, here's what happens. Every time somebody was called, the place would erupt. Oh, my God. I mean, it was just shouting and screaming and yelling and cheering and whatever. And because a lot of these graduates, they have special needs, it takes most of them a long time to get walking down the aisle. And oftentimes, they had to be assisted by other people, some in wheelchairs. Well, this is not like my high school graduation. I mean, they're walking down, and they're being assisted by others, and people are going nuts. And it's taking a long time to get down there, and there's no let-up. There's no let-up. Everybody's cheering and shouting and crying and whatever. And I'm watching this, and I'm starting to cry. And then I got a little glimpse. Like the veil was pulled back, and I saw myself. I saw myself going down the aisle. And, you know, and I was being assisted by others because, you know, I'm broken and handicapped. You know, we're all broken and handicapped, aren't we? Yeah. I mean, we are. And so I'm being assisted by other brothers and sisters, and everybody's in the crowds of heaven. Fred, come on, you can do it. And I finally got there, and when I got there, I heard the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your Lord." Oh my gosh. At that point, I'm glad nobody was watching me because I was a mess. I was a puddle of tears. Because if you ask me, if you say, "Fred, what are you living for? What is the one thing you're living for?" I can honestly say it's to hear those words. More than anything, I want to hear, "Well done, good and faithful servant, enter into the joy of your master." I don't know if there's anything more important. It's become the litmus test to everything I do, how I relate to my wife, how I relate to my children, how I handle my emotions. I'm still working on that. And, you know, what I do when people are watching, or more importantly, what I do when no one is watching. Hello. It's the guide to my whole life. That I on that day, I will hear those words. And like Paul, when I get to the end of my days, I pray, like him, I will say this: the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Henceforth, there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day. And not only me, but also to all who have loved his appearing. Please stand. Spirit. Holy Spirit. Lord's reminding each of us this morning that we're all on a journey. And it's not a very long journey because this life is quickly passing by. And this life is just a rite of passage into the next life. Eternal life, the true life, the real life to come. And I was reminded of this just last night when I too went to see Terry. And when I saw Terry, she was not seemingly conscious, but I was reading scripture to her and telling her I loved her and praying for her, and as I'm just with Terry, I'm just realizing that, you know, barring God's sovereign intervention, and we're believing for that, but barring God's sovereign intervention, her graduation is not perhaps far away. And Terry, like all of us, has had many bumps in her road, and I'm sure cancer is the biggest bump she's encountered. But the Lord is with her. The Lord is with her. And the Lord is with you too this morning. And because we all have bumps, don't we? We all have bumps in our lives. And some of your bumps, your trials, your hardships are bigger than others. Some of you have a big bump in your life right now. Difficulty, hardship. And what I want to say to you this morning is that you have not only been baptized into Christ, but you've been baptized into the body of Christ, 1 Corinthians 12. That means if one member suffers, we all suffer. That we've been called to share each other's burdens, which means you're not alone. If you're going through something this morning, if you're going through a rough time, a difficult trial, hardship, you are not alone. Not only is God with you, but your brothers and sisters are with you. You are not alone. We're here to bear one another's burdens. Amen? That's why we're here. It's a big reason why we're here. We're not just church people going to church on Sunday. We're here to bear one another's burdens. So as we close this morning, I want to pray for you. Particularly if there is something that you're going through that's burdening you, it's a big bump in your road, and you really need God's grace. So if that's you, what I'd like you to do is I'd just like you just to raise your hand, and then anybody near you can just lay hands on you, and we'll pray. Just take a moment to pray together. So if you want prayer this morning, if you could just raise your hand. Everybody look around and just pray, lay hands on the person that has their hand up. Okay? Doesn't have to be cancer. Doesn't have to be terminal, but something that's difficult to handle. It could be physical, it could be emotional, it could be spiritual, financial, vocational. Okay, so let's pray. So, Father, we thank you this morning for this rite of passage called life. And, Father, we thank you for bringing us into life, new life, through Christ. And we thank you also this morning that whatever stage we're in, and whatever we're experiencing in life, whatever tribulation, trial, hardship, difficulty, we thank you that you are with us. And that we have not only your presence, but we have one another. So, Father, I pray right now for each person who's asking for prayer this morning. Holy Spirit, sovereign God, holy God, gracious God, powerful God, majestic God, merciful God, or that you would touch their life. Touch their body. Touch their emotions. Touch their spirit. Touch their mind. Touch their soul. Touch their finances. Touch their emotions. Touch everything in their life. And what I ask especially, that for the grace to rejoice in whatever trial or difficulty that they're going through, that we are going through, knowing that trials produce endurance. Endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope shall not disappoint us because the love of God has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given us. Lord, thank you that it's through these difficulties, through these trials, that we enter the kingdom of heaven, where we shall hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy of your master." Or may we all live our lives to hear those words. In Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen and amen.